All right, we are live. It is Minor Talk, presented by Jack in the Box. I'm Adrian Broaddus, co-host, who joins me every time, whether win, lose, or heartbreaking loss like today, is Sal Montes. We're presented by Jack in the Box. 24-7, 365, Jack in the Box is open all the time here because cravings don't have a curfew. Also brought to you in part by Boomy Dental. Big shout out to Boomy Dental poster in the background. Shout out to Boomy Dental if you're looking for a new dentist, if you're looking for a new service out there in dentistry, visit BoomyDental.com. That's BUMIDental.com. Check out their office on El Paso's east side at 1612 Lee Trevino. Also brought to you in part by Thomas Adams Apparel. You could shop in style with Thomas Adams Apparel. I'm rocking the Orange Swarm hat, even though the Orange Swarm gave up that late touchdown for the Miners. But you could rock one of these hats, the Blue Blaze, the WeFence hats. They're available at thomasadamsapparel.com. Big shout out to Jacob, the whole gang. They made our Minor Talk hats. They're one of our great sponsors here on the program. And that is how we get things started here on the program right now. Miners go up 21-0 in the first quarter. New Mexico State ties it up 21-21. Then 3-3 third quarter. It was a light third quarter in itself that included a Skylar Locklear interception. New Mexico State took the lead 27-24 late in the fourth quarter. It was about 4 minutes left in the fourth quarter. I kept thinking, man, time is running out for UTEP, but not a lot of urgency on that last drive. They end up punting it back to New Mexico State. New Mexico State ends up booting it back to UTEP. UTEP Fair catches it at the 3-yard line. They have to do a 97-yard touchdown drive, which on this drive, you had the 2-minute timeout. Then they had a timeout. They go to fourth down. It was a face mask that helped them extend the drive a little bit. An illegal snap on 3rd and 6 pushed them back to 3rd and 11. They had a drop from running back Hassan Wilson. On 4th and 11, it was Skylar Locklear hitting Jaylen Brown for 34 yards into New Mexico State territory. And Sal, at this point, I'm thinking, okay, UTEP ties it right here. I mean, it's field goal range. Tanner Cragen could get a field goal right here. 27-all. This goes to overtime. Instead, UTEP scores on the very next play, a 28-yard touchdown strike from Skylar Locklear to Kenny Odom, who, by the way, has struggled over the past couple weeks, and we'll talk about that later here on Minor Talk. But UTEP goes up 31-27. I think it's over, Sal. I think it's game. You say otherwise at this point, late in the game.
Yeah, and that's just based off of the way that the game had gone. Let's just say it was reverse, right? And it kind of happened last year. The Miners got out to that slow start. It was all Aggies, and then it was all UTEP after that. That was pretty much what happened here. Just by way of how that game had gotten to that point, I would have favored the Aggies in that moment, because what do they have to lose? What do both teams have to lose? I think that's a bad argument. Let me take that whole thing back. What do both teams have to lose? But the way that this thing had gone, like, it's just blow for blow at that point. And you kind of feel that whoever had the ball last was going to win this game.
But Sal, it was only 56 seconds. Say, I mean, I agree. Yep. I agree. It was one of those crazy games, right? Mm-hmm. It was back and forth. But it was only 58 or 56 seconds in the game. UTEP's defense couldn't hold for 56 seconds and win this. And this was not a field goal that New Mexico State had to get. It was a touchdown. They had to score. And they were. It was a touchback situation. I was thinking, all right, UTEP's defense in a prime position. I know they're without a couple players. I get it. Like, I don't, you know, I want to talk about that excuse here later on in the program, but I still believe in this defense being better than that. I mean, where 56 seconds left, they allow a 75-yard touchdown drive that eventually wins the game. DeMonte passes it to TK King for a 10-yard touchdown strike right there. That drive included a lot of different things. I mean, you can talk about that one. You could talk about the fact that the first play, a 21-yard strike to TK King from Adam DeMonte, by the way, backup quarterback for New Mexico State. The reverse call, the call that was overturned, a 9-yard pass that was ruled incomplete. Upon review, it was reversed. It was a 2nd-and-1 situation, 10-second runoff, Sal. So they only had like I don't know, 39 seconds?
It wasn't a runoff. They elected to use their timeout instead of
the
runoff.
They elected to use their time. You're exactly right. They had two timeouts left. New Mexico State had two timeouts left. They elected to use one of those. And the very next play, they gash UTEP with that DeJuan Stanley 25-yard run to the UTEP 10-yard line. And then at that point, I was thinking, uh-oh, Aggies smell blood. This is an opportunity for them. And then on the very next play, well, actually it was an incomplete pass on the first play, but then the very next play, a touchdown strike from Adam DeMonte to TK King for a 10-yard touchdown. That's it. 34-31. That's game.
Yeah, and that's pretty much all that needed to be said when it was there. That last drive was it was incredibly saucy, man. They go like three passes in a row. Then you get that big run. So you're mixing it up there. And if you're UTEP at that point, it's like, we've just been gashed for, 30, 40 plus. Just got through the air, gashed for 20 plus through the ground. The only benefit you have is that the field is smaller in that point, and they can't go off. But I just think when it comes down to it, man, DeMonte was just incredibly poised throughout it all. There were some plays that made you scratch your head if you're an Aggie fan and you're kind of frustrated just off of the pressure that the Miners were getting. But this guy, man, he was just able to make the plays that mattered the most. And although Skylar had those incredible plays, just a little bit tougher, on that final drive, the final, 14, 20 seconds or so.
Our telephone number when we get started here on the program, 915-505-6009. We'll open up the phone lines right now. We'll take calls. A lot of people commenting on social media. New Mexico State wins 34-31 in the 102nd edition of the Battle of I-10. Fans are frustrated. Fans are upset, understandably, with all of that. I would say this, as far as an entertaining back-and-forth type of game, this goes right up there with some of the best Battle of I-10 games I've ever witnessed. I mean, I look back to the 2015 game where Ryan Metz threw the game-winning touchdown strike to Cedric Lang at the end of the game and how that one finished in Las Cruces in favor for the Miners. What a finish that one was right there.
Yeah.
Like, that one was one of the best ones that I can recall from this rivalry history. I mean, last year's was a back-and-forth affair with the Miners really pulling out, pulling away in the final couple minutes. And I would say, like, you could pinpoint other times in this rivalry, in this time, where they've had some success. So I just want to see, where this one ranks. So if you want to weigh in on that, 915-505-6009. Noticeably upset fan base right here after this loss tonight. This is one of those where UTEP had in the bag. They were up 21-0 early, Sal. And, after they were up early and after they were up big, I think a lot of fans felt pretty good about this team. They were thinking, wow, this is the way that they can go out from Conference USA, leave to go to the Mountain West. They're not going to play next year between UTEP and New Mexico State. So it's a good way to end things off. Maybe kill the Aggies in this one. Like, a full throttle type of effort. But instead, they allow 21 points in the second quarter. And Sal, I think the defense has regressed, obviously. I know that they've hit injuries. I know, guys like Xavier Smith has been out, or he was out this game. Neil Campbell out for the last two games. That's a really tough thing right there as your top corner. You also, in this game for the final drive, were without Micah Davey, the linebacker. But it goes back to what was said before the season started, Sal, and it was that this coaching staff, the team, felt really, really good about the depth they had. And, yeah, you miss some of your senior leaders. You miss some of the best players on your team in critical situations. That is going to hurt, no doubt. But this is the same team that touted their depth all offseason long. They really love their recruiting classes. So, when I hear things like, 50 to 60% of the freshmen are playing currently, I'm thinking, good. This is year-to-year roster making. If you're not going to play the freshmen now, they're going to transfer and go elsewhere and never play for UTEP ever. In my opinion, I'm like, well, yeah, you kind of do want to play them, and you kind of do want to flex your depth late in the season when everybody's hurt. It's not just UTEP. Everybody's dealing with injuries, significant injuries, late in November at this point in the season, late in the season right here. You don't think the Aggies have gone through their share of injuries as well, Sal? I think it's a double, it goes both ways, right, where UTEP maybe wasn't as healthy on the defensive side of the ball, sure, especially in critical moments, didn't have Micah Davey on that final drive. But at the same time, Sal, this is a coaching staff, this is a team right here that touted their depth. And in reality, I just think the depth only took them so far this season.
Even then, too, let's say the depth is there. How on par is it with the competition that they're going against at the same time?
Good point.
You know, so it's kind of like we had the argument earlier, like, yeah, effort is great. You can fight hard all game, but the other team fights just as hard, but they're a little bit bigger, stronger, faster, whatever it is. It's likely going to go in their favor, and that's happened a lot. We've seen it in these close games. Kennesaw, Missouri State, and that was a good game today, by the way, between the two. But just down the stretch, see how close the games are, but then they kind of get away from the Miners, whether it be by way of the other team just being better or some mistakes that shoot the Miners in the foot. So, I mean, everybody's dealing with injuries, man. I mean, look who was starting for the starting quarterback for the Aggies tonight. They didn't have their starting quarterback
there you go.
On the other side. So I don't want to buy into all of that. I just think what it came down to is if we're going to say you could throw records out the books, you could throw everything out the way when it comes to a rivalry game, we could throw away injuries too.
Well, I think that's a really good point. 915-505-6009. In this game, total yards in this matchup, New Mexico State ran 80 plays for 470 yards. UTEP, 64 plays for 399 yards. Aggies, almost 500 yards of total offense in this one, including 276 through the air with their backup quarterback, like we mentioned right here in DeMonte. You look over on UTEP side of things in this matchup right here. I could point out the penalties, Sal. I mean, 4 for 40. It's just at inopportune times.
Yeah.
That's how I would characterize those. I think you'd agree with me on those. Third down conversion, 6 of 15 isn't enough. Red zone, they did a good job. You know, fourth down, 2 for 2 for the Miners, so they did a good job there. Holding New Mexico State to 8 of 16 on third down, not bad either. But, you know, at the same time, it's just not enough in this matchup right here. By the way, UTEP was +1 in the turnover margin and still lost. Like, tell me when's the last time that's happened with this group the way it's built right now. So, those are just some of the stats to look at here as we get started with Miner Talk. A lot of comments coming in online. If you want to weigh in, hashtag Miner Talk, tweet us at 600 ESPN El Paso, or chat with us on our free mobile app in real time. That's where you can chat with us here on the program right now. Also, want to mention our telephone number, 915-505-6009. We're going to get to some calls here in just a second. And then I do also want to mention, of course, what we are doing out at the District Pub and Kitchen West, 3233 North Mesa. They're the spot that we were at beforehand. They're currently hosting a post-game party as well. So if you want to watch any college football, you're looking for a spot to eat after the game, the District Pub and Kitchen West, 3233 North Mesa, one of our great sponsors here on the program. As we continue later on in the program, I do want to mention, I do want to talk about the best Conference USA home games. It's over, Sal. 20 years is in the books. Conference USA no more for UTEP. They're turning the page and going to the Mountain West. And this was the last ever conference home game. So we'll revisit some of the better ones. We'll maybe be a little more positive in that segment. So get your thoughts ready. I've got some good nominations. And if you've got some good home wins in Conference USA at the Sun Bowl, send it to us at 600 ESPN El Paso. Let's remember the good times and maybe I guess end with a bit more positivity for the Conference USA side of things. But before we get to positives, let's take calls. 915-505-6009. NMSU, New Mexico State defeats UTEP in the 102nd edition of the Battle of I-10, 34-31. Albert's going to join us first on the phone lines. Then we got Greg. Our telephone number, 915-505-6009. Albert, good evening, man. What's going on?
Hey, good evening. I just wanted to keep this nice and sweet. Let's just cut straight to the point. That was ridiculous. How do you start off amazingly and then choke the rest of the way? I don't like the way they handled their time. I think it was dumb at some points, but oh well. Just goes to show we are really the worst school.
In Conference USA, I would probably agree. And then what does that tell you, right? Because, this is a bad league. And then maybe not the worst, right? Maybe I'm being a little hyperbolic in the other way. But I hear what you're saying there, Albert. I appreciate your phone call, man. Thanks for keeping it short and sweet. Thanks for allowing us to move forward here on the program. 915-505-6009. By the way, seeing a lot of, like, fire Scotty Walden and everything like that. Like, All right, Sal, I'm just going to be honest with all this right here, right? Like, let's be real. The buyout, if you had to look into it, is $1.5 million. There's no way UTEP is going to be paying that much. Like, come on. Let's get away from that conversation. Let's get away from the buyout talk right there because it's just not going to happen. Financially, it makes zero sense. After year two, that still doesn't really make sense to me. Do UTEP fans want this team to be much better at this point? Yes. Would you say they're worse from year one to year two? I would say so. They're probably going to finish 2-10 on the season, Sal, which is definitely a step back from 3-9. And, you know, your record is who you are at the end of the day. You are a team right now who's only had two wins on the season. One of them an FCS team. The other one most likely, you could basically call him an FCS team in Sam Houston. Scotty Walden, as of right now, is 5-18 at UTEP as a head coach.
Yeah. That's a tough record, especially when one of those losses is to a FCS team. So if we're going to be honest, it's really just four wins. I'm not going to count that Tennessee Martin one. I don't care that they only won one other game. So I think if you want to be able to showcase your true talent and say, hey, this is the place to be, you got to be able to produce on the field. And it's no knock on Walden. They weren't doing it much, with the previous administration. It was a bit better, but, I mean, it's just not a rich history when it comes to UTEP football over here. There's a UTEP player who goes to the NFL, get your hidden gem every once in a while, but I think a fair question would be, like, is it worth it to see what could happen in year one of the Mountain West with the current administration by saving that money, or would you rather just bite it and move forward? That's a question that I think a lot of people
but
are
Sal,
want
like if
to.
They can't if they can't even be competitive in NIL for certain sports, how could anybody expect this team to shell out that kind of money?
Got to think differently. I don't know. And there's a lot of programs that deal with this, but some find
That's
it
true.
Out. You know what I mean? Some find it out. And even then, too, who knows what this whole NIL world looks like in 5 years from now? This could be apples compared to oranges down the road. Like, who knows what those figures are in a couple of years?
915-505-6009, our telephone number, 600-ESPN El Paso, Twitter next, 600-ESPN-ElPaso.com. Greg is going to join us next on the phone lines. And before we move forward, let's pause 10 seconds for station identification. You're listening to Minor Talk, brought to you by Jack in the Box here on 600-ESPN El Paso. Now 915-505-6009. Greg is joining us next on Minor Talk. We're presented by Jack in the Box. Greg, good afternoon. Good evening, I should say. What's going on, man?
Good evening. Thank you guys for taking my call. You guys do a fantastic job every time. Okay, so my family and I were there at the game. I'm going to focus specifically in the fourth quarter, 2 minutes, when Miners scored that incredible long gain and everything and scored a touchdown. And here come the Aggies. It's that play where the running back ran through the linebackers, through the secondary. Reminds me of 2014 when UTEP women's basketball, if you all remember that, in the NIT. My wife's alma mater, Rutgers, but she's a big Miner fan. 8 seconds left. The Rutgers player got the ball. And all the UTEP defensive players they were not even afraid to touch her. The Rutgers player zigzag, scored the layup. Rutgers wins the national NIT championship. I was watching the UTEP defense. They didn't even budge. This little running back just ran through for a massive gain. It's kind of like, what was the defense thinking? It was a very tough game to watch. Yeah, injuries and all that and everything. But anyway, I'll leave it at that. It just, you know what? Kudos to the Aggies. We won last year. They won this year. But it's been a very disappointing season. So what? Do we have the third year? Is the year of redemption? Are we going to improve? I'll leave it at that.
Yeah, I don't know, man. I don't know. I don't know what year three brings. I think that there's a lot of things, right? Because this was a more favorable schedule, Greg. This was one of those schedules where you look at and you're like, yeah, I could find, you know, four or five. Even, you know, some of our listeners said six wins. I thought that was a bit of a stretch. I found four wins before the season started, and now they're at two, and they're probably going to stick at two. I think there were listeners out there, fans, who maybe thought, all right, maybe this is year, you know, two. They can maybe go four, five wins. That's what, you know, some fans were hoping for. Five, six was what a lot of fans were really expecting, I would say. Like, that's what they expected. Not me. However, no one thought this. No one thought two wins. Like, for it to be at this point right here is a major step back for the program. And that they have to recognize that. They have to acknowledge that, Sal. And that's got to be a big deal moving forward, is how do you turn. They said they're not gonna be defined by wins and losses, Sal. But how do you turn and adjust to where you can actually win at this level, at the FBS level?
Oh my goodness!
Because next year's Mountain West, right, Sal? Like, next year's Mountain West, it doesn't get easier.
They got a taste of it this year, not only in football but also basketball. Like, this is what they're up against. Got to be able to hang with the big dogs, and who knows what it takes to do that? One quick way, we just talked about it, NIL. How do they get the money? As far as football goes, man, I don't know, because for the people saying, hey, there's a chance for a third win, technically you're right? You play the game, but Delaware's 5-6. I wonder if they'll be applying for a waiver for a bowl game or for bowl eligibility if they get this win. And by the looks of it, they probably are going to get this win. I'm just going to reel off a game: Middle Tennessee, Louisiana Tech, Florida International. Those are their three conference wins so far. Likely going to be UTEP, but that FIU win is really nice, man. They took down Jax today, who took down they also took down Western Kentucky earlier this year. So FIU is pretty solid. Nonetheless, though, Delaware is going to be a tough out for anybody. Even if, let's say they make it, they get that waiver, it'll be fun to watch.
I got a bad stat for you, Sal. You know,
don't
me.
Do it.
I don't like bad stats, but I got to give you a bad stat here on the program, because at least we got to, if we're going to be critical and if we're going to be, you know, if we're going to criticize this team, we got to at least back it up with some facts, okay? UTEP all time in Conference USA, 20 years, okay? 48-118. That's their all time record. 48-118. That includes, as I'm looking at this right now, one winning season in conference in 2014, one winning season in conference in 2005. There's a 500 record in 2008 and a 500 record in 2021. Four times have they been 500 or above out of 20 years in Conference USA. That is a less than 30% win percentage right there in Conference USA for the Miners, Sal.
And you know what the crazy part is? I haven't looked at it, but I'm going to take a guess that majority of those wins came within the first 10 years and not the last 10 years.
I mean, that's a pretty good assessment. You look at the 2005 campaign, five wins. They go 3 wins, 2 wins, and 4 wins from 2006 to 2008, and then they go 3-3-2-2 from 2009 to 2012, and then they start to get a little bit more victories under their belt, but really it doesn't pile up to that much. It's just that's a tough record when you have to swallow, or a tough pill to swallow right there. Here's the last 5 years in Conference USA since the pandemic. We won't count 2020 because that was a shortened season due to COVID-19. 2021, that was a 500 season, 4-4 in conference play. 2022, 3-5. 23, 2-6. Last year, 1-7. Right now, 1-6. This is a bad conference, Sal. This isn't like we're talking the American Athletic Conference or the Mountain West right now.
No, definitely not. And they've gotten significantly worse while the league has gotten significantly worse. I mean, give me Conference USA 20 years ago, I'm in heaven. I'm watching these games up and down. Houston, Memphis, Tulsa. We can talk all about it later, but I mean, there's no way this league can compete with the league of old. That's why they've moved on to bigger and better things. Oh, I thought of a name too: FC USA, because it's basically FCS teams.
That's a good one. 915-505-6009. Good stuff, Sal. Sidelines is joining us next here on the program. Kevin Bizarre, who's back with us on the program. Sidelines, welcome aboard. You've just heard us rant. You just heard us talk. Andy from the West Side is going to join us right after you, but you're back with us, Sidelines. It's great to hear from you. Give us your thoughts after New Mexico State downs UTEP 34-31 in the final minute.
Hey, what's up, guys? Hey, thanks for having me on the program today, as always. You know, when UTEP went up 21-0, you know, things were high, flying high. You know, I went to fan mode today, and I kind of, you know, observed to see what everybody said, because it was a pretty good crowd tonight, pretty good crowd. A lot of, you know, the casual UTEP fans came out for this, which was cool. You know, you got to see them. But the minute UTEP went up 21-0 and NMSU scored that first touchdown, I was like, oh, no. Oh, no. I felt it in my bones. I felt it in my bones as a diehard UTEP fan. I was like, you know what's coming next, Kev. You know what's coming next. They're going to come back, and they're going to take the lead here. And I kind of felt it coming in. But just the truth of the matter is that this football team cannot play a full four quarters. You know, the past few games, they've been able to pull out, you know, some points later on in the third and fourth. But it was kind of – the script was a little bit flipped this time around. They came out firing in the first quarter and then the second, third. And, I mean, they came alive a little bit in the fourth, but – they just kind of fell flat, you know. This team cannot play a full four quarters, and it's, as a fan, it's upsetting to see it. You know, it's very upsetting to see it because they regress from year one to year two under Scotty Walden. And I know you guys were ranting about his contract and his buyout, and I don't know if you guys have talked about this on Sports Talk, but there's clauses in Scotty Walden's contract that states that if he's fired, I think, within the 5 years, UTEP has to pay him in full. No payments, because I think when Dana Dimmo got fired, I think they furloughed the payments or something like that. I think that was the instance for his, like, fifth year. But no, UTEP's going to have to pay him in full. And Scotty has got a hell of an agent for negotiating that deal. And truth of the matter is that even if UTEP waits until year five begins, they're going to need $800,000 to buy out that contract. So, truth of the matter is, we're stuck with Scotty Walden for five more years. So all the fans saying, fire Scotty, it's not going to happen. It's not going to happen, guys. And it hurts me to say that, but it's just the truth, guys. UTEP's not going to fork up $800,000 to buy out his contract.
Well, but also, Kevin, and I, you know, I appreciate you as always, man. Thank you for weighing in. But at the same time, like, they're not going to justify that kind of expense right there. They're going to say, hey, it's only year two, going into year three of five. By the way, it's three more years after this year. They'll spin it their way as well. And I didn't want to come out here and say, like, this is where we stand. I'm just trying to state the facts when it comes to this subject right here. And then, you know, Luke Amoda Minor was texting in the program asking, when does center's contract expires? On the current one that he signed back in 2021, the final year is at the end of May. Well, you know, it's 2026 of May or whatever, the August period, whatever the May through August period, whatever that looks like. So Heather Wilson and Jim Center will have to have the conversation if he wants to continue to be extended or if he wants to be the athletic director at UTEP or what that's going to look like at the end of it. I stated this very similar to how we talked about Joe Golding's contract last year. UTEP's just going to be kind of in this proverbial fork in the road type of situation with center's contract. If we're opening up that can of worms, on one side, they're going to suggest, well, okay, let's extend him. This is the athletic director that is at UTEP that's moving UTEP to the Mountain West. Facilities have been upgraded, all of those kind of things. The other side is, let's not extend him. Let's move on and find a new athletic director. That could be another perspective, they say. And, hey, the wins in men's basketball and football have not happened. The hires have not materialized for those sports right there. And, you know, you have some success in other sports like women's volleyball, but you don't have success in other money-making sports where you really need it. And then the other one is a retirement, which, you know, that also – could be in play. So there's all these different paths that could happen at the end of the year, and we'll find out. I mean, that's going to be a time will tell kind of situation for the athletic director perspective. But right here, right now, I agree with you, Kevin. There's no chance that they move on from Scotty Walden. None. Like, that's just not going to happen. And I know that there are listeners who feel passionate the other way. Okay, you do it then. You fork up the $1.5 million that UTEP doesn't have. By the way, UTEP's already struggling in resources for NIL. They're already behind the eight ball when they go to the Mountain West in that category right there. So you want to talk about a bad week for UTEP? How about, you know, going into a overtime game against a Division III school in men's basketball? How about bowing out in the opening round of the Conference USA tournament? And how about losing in the Battle of I-10? What a week. Sal Montes, what a week.
We were texting when UTEP was playing St. Thomas, and throughout the game we were kind of like, this might have to be a possibility, man. Like the unwritten might just be jotted down in the history books, and it's crazy. Like, I understand it, right? They got hoopers. They're a solid team, and they're a power in their Division III rank, but I mean, I'm seeing all these responses like D3 can ball, D3 can this. It's like, we're not disputing that. We're not saying that they suck. We're just saying UTEP, a Division I team, not even just UTEP, a Division I basketball team should not even be doing this. And it reminded me, just to be a little bit silly, but back when Kevin Durant was with his last year in OKC in free agency, there was that hope of like, maybe he doesn't sign. But the whole time, I should have been thinking, why the hell is he interviewing with the Warriors in the first place? That should have been the indication that he was leaving. My point is that they never should have even mixed together. It should not have been that close. And that it was just a terrible feeling all throughout. Like, they had to rely on heroics just to tie the game, and then more heroics just to win the game. So if they don't get that third rebound, it's a completely different story.
Yeah, I'm still not over that one either, Sal. I'm still ready to continue to talk about that one. But I also wanted to say this too, like, even if, you know, St. Thomas won that game, and they probably deserve to win that one for basketball, this is the last thing I'll say. I don't know if we would have done Minor Talk. Minor Talk would have still done more bad than good after such a reactionary game like that. You're only taking hyperbolic negatives from that one right there, and it's not going to be a lot of substance off that one. Kevin, if you're still with us, anything to comment on the bad week?
You know, Sal tweeted something a couple of days ago, and it made a lot of sense to me, and it's the truth. UTEP Athletics just needs an overhaul, like a complete overhaul, and we're going into the Mountain West, guys. We've been a bottom barrel Conference USA school in an FCS conference. Conference USA is an FCS conference. I don't care what all the burners are saying on social media and stuff. This is a glorified FCS conference across all sports almost. And UTEP's been a bottom barrel in damn near every sport, except volleyball. But even then, volleyball can't finish the deal. So they need an overhaul. From the coaching staff to administration, something needs to change in order to be more competitive in the Mountain West, because if you go into the Mountain West with the same mentality you have in Conference USA, you're still going to be at that same position, just a human punching bag to every other school.
All right, Kevin. Appreciate you, man. Thank you for weighing in. 915-505-6009. Andy has been patiently waiting on Minor Talk with us. We're presented by Jack in the Box. We'll take a break here in just a little bit, but we'll burn through some calls before we get to a break. 915-505-6009. That's our telephone number. If you've been waiting to get in on the program, now's the time to do it. Andy, good evening. What's going on, man?
The other patiently waiting thing I've been doing is for a win this year. Holy smokes.
That's a good one.
But I'm not patient anymore. I'm a little, no, I'm a lot upset. Holy smokes, how do you blow a 21-point lead? I mean, I'm at a loss. I'm upset. I'm disgusted. I'm just, my philosophy is always, win, lose, or draw, we support the local university regardless. And I have to stick to my guns on that. But, oh, my gosh, was it horrible today. You know, I'm frustrated. This whole year, play calling is so inconsistent. It's like what was working for you in the first quarter. You were running big chunks, 8, 10, 12 yards. And then come second quarter, you go to the pass, and that's not working for you. Then you go back to it in the third quarter some, and you start seeing a little bit of movement, but then it's so all over the place. Poor clock management, in my opinion, poor timeout calling. It's just those strategies. It's like, it doesn't feel like I'm watching a Division I program when I see those kind of things happening.
I hear you, Andy. I would also say, look, when with this group right here, I think the other thing that frustrates fans is I heard this earlier, and I'm sure you could echo the sentiment. When it comes to New Mexico State, throw the records out the books. But you got to beat New Mexico State, right? Because that can help inspire, salvage whatever you want, spin the season a little bit more positively. And the Miners had it. The game was over. They had this game. It was 31-27. They had it in the books. And to allow that final touchdown right there, it's just it feels like the biggest gut punch ever. Think about this also, Andy, from the West Side. The last 2 weeks, the Miners go into the fourth quarter tied at 24 against Missouri State. It was 24-24. Today, 24-24. And then they finish out with, you know, just a touchdown to close out the game. That's all they could put up in the fourth quarter for the Miners. And on the flip side for New Mexico State, doing enough to win in this matchup. So back-to-back losses when they were tied going into the fourth quarter. You could say four straight games when they were in it in the second half and just unable to pull it off.
I mean, I like Scotty. I like Scotty a lot. But it's like all that energy is, to me, wasted energy if it's not sealing the deal, if it's not, you know, the final kill. All the jumping up and down on the sidelines throughout the whole game, when after you've given up three touchdowns in a row, it's like it starts getting irritating. The banners on the side, when it's like it blocks out half the view if you're in certain spots, and I'm in one of those spots in certain parts of the game I can't see, I have to look up at the screen. It's all these little things where it's like I keep on getting irritated, and it's like it's hard to cheer you guys, and I'm going to cheer you guys, but it makes it hard when I'm getting irritated with all these things happening in the game.
Yeah, that's another thing is that to some of those fans who are out there, they've said it's not fan conducive, you know, or it's not conducive to those who sit right there, right behind that banner. So I understand what you're saying there, Andy. I appreciate your phone call in a big way. I thought you brought up some really good points. And I don't know where UTEP goes from here going into Delaware. Like, how do you get up for the Delaware game after this one? I think year three overall, like, I'm not completely out. Like, if you're able to recruit high-level players and still able to do it, you know, at a high level here at UTEP, or at least bring players at a higher level. Like, I'm not completely out on any of this right here, but they've got to do something in year three, and that's asking a lot when, again, Sal, they're going to the Mountain West. It's a better schedule. They've got two bye games next year that are pretty significant in Michigan and Oklahoma, both road games. It's just an uphill battle from there, man. And I don't know. I mean, you're going to have to try to find those, whatever it is, 5, 6, 7 wins next year in year three to show some substantive improvement year over year.
Well, one positive that they'll gain, and this is kind of a positive for anybody jumping up a level in terms of when you join a new conference, but it's a different market that they can tap into for recruiting. You know, who knows what other players that they can get, not just specifically this pipeline, which is kind of, I don't want to say smack in the middle, but it's close to the middle of what that Conference USA geographic is. I'm not saying you still can't hit those areas, but that's what I'm hopeful for, is like, can they get players that are conducive to your play style? Like, are they going to be able to get some big hogs on the line, you know, some out from the Colorado area, you know, Arizona, whatever?
I'm with you on the line, Sal. Yeah. I think it's a great point.
You know what I mean? And then as far as defense goes, I think the recruiting on defense, like, of course, everything can be better, but if there's something that's closer to being, you know, what you want it to be, take today aside. For the most part, the defense has shown.
Yeah, I would agree. Our telephone number, 915-505-6009, 600-ESPN El Paso, Twitter and X, 600-ESPN El Paso on our free app. You could chat with us in real time. On the New Mexico State side of things, Adam DeMonte, 29 for 41. He had an interception. It was a tipped interception that Solo Barnes grabbed. He had 253 through the air, 3 total touchdowns. He was sacked 3 times by UTEP in this one. And then on the ground, Stanley, 109 on the ground. Impressive stuff right there. I thought he was a really good running back, and he did a lot of good things in this matchup right here against the Miners. And then defensively, they just did enough, man. I mean, it wasn't necessarily one thing, two things. They allowed UTEP to rush for their season best on the ground in this one here. 248 on the ground for the Miners, but, you know, it's still for UTEP just not good enough. Didn't make it happen when it was when it mattered most. And now UTEP here is reeling. They're 2-9. They're going to probably finish out the season 2-10. We'll see. It's on Scotty Walden and this team to go out there in Delaware, put out a better product than what, you know, how they closed out here today. And just a really tough way to go out here when it's all said and done. 915-505-6009, 600 ESPN El Paso, Twitter and X, 600ESPNElPaso.com. Milkman is next up with us. Milkman, good evening, man. What's going on?
Hey, what's going on, guys?
Long time no talk, man. I feel like it's been a while.
Yeah, it has been. I've been pretty busy. I've watched the games, been to them, went to this one today, and I don't even know. It's I'm at a loss for words. It would be nice if it wasn't so predictable. Like that's the part that gets me. It's like I haven't really listened to much of the rest of the show, so maybe somebody else has touched on this. But I got to tell you, when they were up 21-0, and then New Mexico State scored, I was like, I already know what's going to happen here. Like I already know what's going to happen, and sure enough, it happened. And God, why does it have to be so predictable? I don't even know what to say. Like I don't know how much more a fan base can endure. I mean, back in the 90s, I mean, you know, when the football team sucked, it was like, hey, well, at least basketball season's here and they're always good in basketball. I mean, like, we don't even have that anymore. Like, I don't know how much more this fan base can endure. I'll always be there. I'll always be a Miner fan. But man, this is a miserable existence. It is really, really hard to take right now.
I feel like we had this conversation last year.
Yeah, we did. That's the thing. We did.
Like, and the year before.
Why are we still here? Why are we still here? I don't understand this. This shouldn't. I mean, we're not, even if we don't go to a bowl game, like, even you guys didn't, I know you weren't that high on them, but surely you didn't think we would only have 2 wins. I mean, nobody really thought that, right?
No one thought that.
Come on. I mean, this is absurd. I don't know. I mean, when you have great recruiting classes, you would expect at least a few more wins, right? Like, I don't know what to say. I don't know what the solution is. I have no idea. I don't know. I'm out of words. I'm out of ideas. I don't know.
I hear you, man. I appreciate your phone call, Milkman. As bewildered as you are, I know a lot of other fans can echo the same sentiment. So I appreciate your phone call, man. Thank you for weighing in. Let's go to Mario, then we're going to take a break. So if you want to weigh in, 915-505-6009. I believe this is Mario Mocha, who's with us right now. And so Mario is going to be joining us here on the phone lines. Very excited to hear from him. Heard a lot about him in the headlines. And if there was an award for top listener on the program, Mario Mocha might be one of those guys out there. Mario, welcome to the program. What's going on?
Hey, this is what I say, long-time listener, first-time caller. But I know we were joking around. And I said, you know, I would call in. Obviously, great game. I'm here in California, freezing to death. Watching my daughter play softball, so she figures out the phone to watch the end of the game. I'm listening to it on the radio. But the reason I called in is to say this: I hope that it can be figured out to play this game every year. I get it. He's winning; they're happy. Miners are not, or vice versa. Like here. But it's too big of a game not to play every year. So I hope that can be figured out. And from, you know, I also hope, and I always was an advocate of playing this game early in the season. You know, I think a game like that should have 40,000 people there. And by the person, but at the end of the year, you know, there's a bigger risk of not having a, you know, successful season. The fans aren't as excited, but, you know, hope springs eternal in September. So I hope they can keep it going, and I hope they can, because it's great for the area for sure.
Yeah, no doubt. Mario, I appreciate your phone call, man. Thank you for taking some time and calling our program here today, and I agree with you. I hope that this game is being played in 2027 because it's not going to be played in 2026, so I hope that it's just a one-year hiatus and then right back to it, the Battle of I-10. We should never go a year without the Battle of I-10, so it's tough to see this game not be played. As far as earlier in the year, I'll disagree and say that it should be the Thanksgiving weekend. If they push this one more weekend, Mario, I mean, there would have probably been a lot more fans in attendance next week versus this past week. If family were in town, all that kind of stuff, make a trip out of it, make a day out of it, Battle of I-10. I think that's a little bit more conducive for fans, but wow, Sal, there you go. Former New Mexico Athletic Director Mario Mocha calling into Minor Talk. We've had parents, we've had probably coaches on some burner calls, right, who've called us here on Minor Talk. We've had, you know, student athletes call us throughout the years. This is a first right here.
Real quick, we've also had teammates, high school or AAU teammates of players in to congratulate their players. I'm trying to remember of the guy from Oklahoma State, but his boy was Likely. I think it was over here. Oklahoma State's Likely, and he was shouting out his boy.
It was Caden Archie. I think that was Caden Archie.
Yes. So real quick, just want to throw that out there. That's crazy, though, man. I had no idea. We just heard about him yesterday, and maybe 24 hours, you know, he touches the airwaves. So, yeah, he's hovering around. But and with all due respect, like in all seriousness, right, his time in this area, he understands the significance of what this game
means.
Very
true.
You know, even being on the other side, and we could be honest, the more successful side too. But when New Mexico State's winning, that helps out UTEP and vice versa.
915-505-6009. That's our telephone number. We're going to take a break right now. When we come back, more of Minor Talk. We got calls to get to. 915-505-6009. Augustine Chuco, hang with us during the break. If you want to weigh in, now's the time to do it. 915-505-6009. 600 ESPN El Paso, Twitter, and X. We're brought to you in part by Boomy Dental, Thomas Adams Apparel, the District Pub and Kitchen West, 915 Tours, New Start Homes, and, of course, Minor Talk is brought to you by Jack in the Box. More in a moment right here on 600 ESPN El Paso. All right, welcome back. Minor Talk is live. We are presented by Jack in the Box. I'm Adrian Bratis. He's Sal Montes. Chris Colin's in the house from Inspo Lens. We are live on Inspo Lens, YouTube, Twitter. People have said they've watched us while they're at home, while they're hanging out on their phones. So appreciate everybody watching us live here on Twitter next and on Inspo Lens as well. Appreciate Chris being out here all season long. Hey, I mean, we've had to weather the storm. Chris Collins has had to weather the storm with us all season long. Appreciate for joining us every single week here on Minor Talk. We might have to mic him up later on in the program because this one's going to get a little we're just going to continue. We're just going to continue with all our thoughts and our conversations here on the program as we continue. Aaron's going to join us next. We've got Augustine, and then we got Mickey here on the program, 915-505-6009. Let's burn through calls. Aaron, good evening. What's up?
Adrian, thanks for keeping the lines open. Thanks for letting us fans get some stuff off our chest. Going to try to keep it short, but just want to say, as far as UTEP athletics as a whole, we're cursed. We're cursed in Conference USA. I don't know off the top of my head how many conference championships we've won. I know there's a few in maybe women's basketball, track and field. Men's and women's have had a couple conference championships. I think golf had the most recent one with the men's team. But as far as the major sports, yeah, we're cursed. So silver lining, we're leaving Conference USA, get a fresh start with the Mountain West. Hopefully that'll change things around for us as fans. But for what it is this season, can't be more heartbroken.
I hear you, Aaron. I hear you. Any thoughts on the future for UTEP?
You know, as a native El Pasoan, we have to be hopeful. We have to be loyal to the team, win or lose. Some of the fans before me have said it already. We have to show our support. But there's nothing unless we start showing up to the radio shows with Teich and with Coach Walden and start expressing our frustrations to him, you know, maybe face to face. But we can't afford the buyout on Walden's contract. We're stuck with him for 5 years no matter what, Hopefully the next 3 years will be a lot better. And I think the hottest seat right now is looking at Jim Center.
Okay, Aaron, I appreciate your phone call, man. Thank you for weighing in. Augustine's going to join us next, but I do want to mention this, Sal. And if it wasn't for things like AI and more specifically Grok, by the way, this is an endorsement for Grok. We are live on Twitter next, too, so there you go, Grok and Twitter. Grok just gave – I just asked it. How many conference championships for Conference USA? Sal, over-under is 15, over-under. In all sports, all across sports.
In all sports? In the
20 years, over-under is 15. Where are you going?
I feel like this is a trick question, so I'm going to go under.
It is under. 13 is the number, and let's run through it. Men's basketball, 2010 regular season champs. Women's basketball, 2012 tournament champions. Football, zero. Men's cross country, 4 titles. Women's cross country, none. Women's indoor track and field, 3. Women's outdoor track and field, 1. Men's indoor track and field, 2. Men's outdoor track and field, 1. Volleyball this year. Soccer, none. Softball, none. Women's golf, none. Neither had women's tennis, rifle, nor beach volleyball, but that doesn't really count. They haven't played that long, 2023 since then. So we're talking about 13, make it 14, because I want to include that volleyball title that they just won this past year. So let's make it 14.
But the scary and the sad part is that there's two championships, right? There's the regular season, and there's the conference tournament championship. So that's basically 40 championships, you know, if you spread it out 20 times 2. So I don't even know, man. That's crazy.
Yeah, it's not a great number. Sheesh. Right there. Yeah, I'm with you. 915-505-6009. Augustine is next up with us. Augustine, good evening. Uh-oh, he may have hit a traffic jam or something. Let's go to Chuko next. Let's get Chuko here on the program. 915-505-6009. Chuko, good evening. What's up, man?
Hey, Adrian. Hey, Sal. Thank you for taking the call. You know, as fans, I mean, we got to support. But I mean, honestly, yeah, I was so disappointed today. Somebody called earlier about. It was kind of like it was predictable. When they went up 21-0, my first thought was, look, NMSU is going to come back. And what did they do in the second quarter? They did. And then at the end, we scored that touchdown at the end, and it was just so predictable. You know what? NMSU has a chance, and they do it. It's just, I don't know. My personal opinion, I think the entire, well, not entire, but basketball, in my opinion, needs a reset. I'm not a fan of Golding. I don't understand how after year 4, losing the majority of your team, all of your assistant coaches, you get an extension. I don't understand that play call. Walden, I mean, he's in year 2, so I don't want to say that we need a reset there, but he needs to look really hard in the mirror and just wonder what it is that he's not getting right, because the talent's there. It's just, are we putting it together correctly? In my opinion, no. So anyway, I'm on my way to the women's basketball team, game right now. I support. I wish everyone well. But, yeah, you can't deny that as fans, they make it very difficult for us sometimes to rah-rah and cheer them on. But we do it, and I'll still do it.
Okay, Chuko, I appreciate you, man. I know you're a diehard fan. You're going to support win, lose, or anything. Like, you're going to stick with this group, so I got you. Mickey's joining us next on the phone lines, 915-505-6009, 600 ESPN El Paso, Twitter next, 600ESPNElPaso.com. Mickey, good evening. What's going on, man?
Good morning, and good evening, I'm sorry, and thank you guys.
Hey, good morning.
Good morning,
my
yeah,
friend.
Good morning, right? It feels like it's the morning after the punch I just got after the football game. But a couple of things. Been a fan for close to 50 years. This has been the absolute worst last several years. And I'll tell you what, the guy, in my opinion, who's done more with less of anyone in the region over the last 10, 15 years is Mario Mocha from New Mexico State. I would love to have that guy heading our program, and I guarantee you things would turn around. He understands the region. He understands the culture. He understands the dynamic between the students and the athletic department. That guy, to me, is number one on my list because we do need a reset. I give money to the minor athletic club, season ticket holder. I'm at the D3 game today. And shout out to El Paso for showing up today. I don't know how much more the fans are expected to take, but if I was talking to the university president, where to me the buck stops with her, you do need to have a 180 with the athletic program, and Mario would be absolutely number one on my list right now.
Okay, I appreciate it, man. Thank you, Mickey. Thanks for giving us a call on that one and giving us your thoughts on, you know, kind of where they need to head to after this year or whatever. You're kind of thinking turning the page, but you know, that's a season ticket holder. That's somebody who is very passionate about UTEP athletics right there, and somebody who's very disgruntled. I'll say this: 16,000 fans in attendance for this matchup, to be exact, 16,677 fans in attendance at the Sun Bowl. You know, at this one for the Battle of I-10, I would say it was a good crowd, man. Both sides. I mean, Las Cruces traveled. We've taken some calls from Cruces as well. We welcome the calls from the Aggies fans as well here on this program. But yeah, I thought, given the time, given the records for both teams and all that kind of stuff, could it have been better? Sure. Yeah, sure. But, you know, it's another one that's on ESPN+. Sometimes that deters people from going out watching a game. They just go watch it from their comfort of their home or whatever, or a place that's an establishment in town that might have it, whatever it might be. Regardless, Miners lose. New Mexico State wins in this one. And Aggies finish this one 34-31 when it was all said and done. So fans understandably upset after this game. 915-505-6009-600 ESPN El Paso Twitter next. A lot of comments coming in on social media, so we'll get to those comments here in just a bit. Let's go to Frank before we get to those comments on social media. 915-505-6009. Frank, good evening, man. What's going on?
Hey, what's going on? I too am on my way to watch UTEP basketball, the women's team. Number 14 out there, I found out. She's actually a cousin of ours. Her family is from El Paso. Your grandfather's. And she was recruited out of Northern California. That is Tatiana Collazo. Whenever you get a chance, give her a shout-out.
Okay, Tatiana Collazo, shout-out to you. Appreciate you mentioning them. And by the way, women's basketball off to a good start, so I'm happy you're supporting this squad right here. For the women, they're off to a 3-0 start. They're taking on UT Martin tonight. Should be a victory for Keith Adams and company. Although I shouldn't say anything, because I thought, you know, St. Thomas was an easy win right there. We already said we weren't doing minor talk after that one. You know how that one went. But for your cousin, for this women's basketball's sake, they need to get a victory tonight to help minor fans at least sleep a little better than what they feel currently right now.
Exactly. I do believe they will come through for us. We need to get more people out of these women's games. They're a great bunch of girls up there, and they try hard for us. They really do.
Agreed completely.
Getting back to football, I haven't heard you, or I wasn't listening to your program, but I don't know if this came back, but it's the top, you know. Same thing with Natalizia. Who was the president just a little while back?
Yeah, President Diana, Dr. Diana Natalizia, RIP.
Yeah. You know, she and Coach Bear had a good relationship, and she cared about basketball. She put money into basketball. Football, she never did. And this new one that took over, I'm not sure they really care very much about football. And I wish that would change. It's got to start from the top.
I hear you, man. Frank, I appreciate your phone call, man. Thank you for waiting. Thanks for your thoughts here after this one. 915-505-6009. We'll get back to the calls here in just a bit. Let's go to Twitter next. A lot of comments coming in, so we'll check in there. Still to come. Best home games of all time in Conference USA. We'll run them down for you. We'll give them all to you here on the program. Carlos Calero. Scotty should know that he should argue the ref's botched job with the play clock at the end of the half. And why call a timeout before a punt? Missed out on a possibility of 3 points with a three and out at the end of the first half. Ridge Eagle, ELP. Scotty needs to be making a lot of offseason changes. The discipline on the team is insanely bad. Need to get better quarterback play. You have to get a quarterback, and you have to. And if you have to make changes, the offensive coaching staff do it, including Scotty Walden giving up play calling and offensive coordinator duties. This is coming in from Alfonso Frias. I don't want to hear anything about the hustle and the competing. People need to start being held accountable, from the athletic director to the players across all sports. UTEP isn't ready to compete in District 6A, let alone the Mountain West. This is from Brandon Vaughn. They talk about progress, but this is a horrific regression in year two under Walden, slowly losing more and more confidence in whether or not he is the guy to lead the program moving forward. Embarrassing loss as an exclamation point for an embarrassing year. Atha99 checks in with this one. I really, really hope this is the last game of a lame excuse of a cheerleader as a head coach for UTEP. I don't think that's going to be the case, Atha. Alfonso Frias, I didn't think a 3-win football team could take a step backwards, but UTEP has proven prolific at crashing through the basement in spectacular fashion. Tim at That El Paso Guy. Minor talk. There is nothing to say here. Same abysmal football week after week. Horrible play calling. Horrible clock management. Walden needs to be fired by the morning. He is not it. No improvement on the field. Going to the Mountain West with him is going to be a disaster, as it already is. Poncho. Coach Scotty Walden got outcoached. Defense failed to show up once again. Curious as to what Scotty will say about the progress that the team has made. Can we start a GoFundMe to raise money to pay for his buyout? This is Tyler Wilson. Welcome to rock bottom, UTEP fans. Football blows a 21-0 lead to New Mexico State the same week that basketball beats a D3 team in overtime. Center, Golding, Walden all have to go. Until then, nothing will change. Hashtag minor talk. David Castro, only UTEP could turn a prevent defense into prevent winning. Wow. Okay, come on. That was a good line, all right? I'm gonna interject there and say that was a good line. David Castro, only UTEP could turn prevent defense into prevent winning. Another chapter in a decade-long tradition of inventing new ways to lose. Classic Miners, decades of mediocrity, and somehow this season still finds a way to be worse. Luis Velez, terrible teams do terrible things. Complete misery from coaching staff to the field. Walden is not a Division I coach. 2025 was a regression. God help UTEP athletics next year when they play real teams. 1-10 season? Question mark. He's not counting the FCS game, Sal. So he's saying 1-10 right there from Luis.
Yeah, and honestly, I feel the exact same way. Like these. In the same way that St. Thomas was an exhibition for them against UTEP, I know technically it'll count for the record, but me personally, I just can't vouch for that. I can't respect that seriously.
I understand that. And as far as Tennessee Martin being the one team that, you know, UTEP beat at home, Sam Houston being the one team that UTEP beat on the road, not quality wins right there. No, it's just not. 915-505-6009. A bunch of other tweets to get to. George Cooper. Next week will be another loss. Time to either drop the sport, get a new staff, starting with Jim Center and coach enthusiasm. At @Leo_minorfan tweets this. I thought there were signs of progress to begin the season, but man, they've taken huge steps backwards. How will next season be even different? It's difficult to believe that it will be. Matthew Castro. It doesn't get more UTEP than this. I remember when Scotty Walden took the job, he said that we weren't rebuilding. The plan is to win now. He is in over his head. David Castro. Opinion. People forget the geopolitical reality UTEP recruits in. Parents Google El Paso. They see headlines and negativity pushed from outside narratives. Hard to recruit when the city gets judged by narratives instead of reality. All right, I'm going to completely disagree with this here. I'll get your thoughts on this, Sal. The geopolitical scope of El Paso is something that UTEP, and I would say this university, the city, has had on their back, not just in the recent years, let's take it back to 2020 in the COVID-19 pandemic when we were one of the hotbeds for the virus. Like, no one wanted to play here. That was a real reality. Like, no teams wanted to come to El Paso to play against the Miners. That was what happened. They had so many different reschedulings. They had all these crazy games. And that pandemic shortened season was absolutely ridiculous. Before that, before the NIL and transfer portal even hit, UTEP was facing those challenges. All, you know, they were facing the challenges in the early 2000s, the mid 2000s, the late 2000s. Like, they were facing those same, I guess, things that you're just saying right there, David Castro. I completely disagree, and I would say most coaches, once they get players out here into El Paso and they bring them here, You don't, like, these players don't want to leave. They like the city for the most part. Like, it's not like the geopolitical scope of this city is hindering the recruiting classes. And by the way, this football program had back-to-back classes that were number one in 247 and rivals in terms of recruiting across Conference USA. So I don't buy that excuse. What do you think, Sal?
Yeah, no, I don't buy it at all, especially when that's not even the deciding factor for majority of these kids. Maybe it'll work for some, but at the same time, too, we can flip it over. Look at some of the alumni that UTEP has that recruits are fans of. Like, there could be somebody right now whose favorite player is Aaron Jones, and they get an offer from UTEP. You know, barring whatever other offers they may have, that could be a legit option because they got an offer from their favorite player. That's just one example, but I don't buy it at all because if there's something that's knocking UTEP, there's something that's for it. They just got to win more, man, to be more appealing.
How does New Mexico State do it? How do these other schools do it that face similar challenges to El Paso in that quote-unquote geopolitical disadvantage? Like, I don't buy that. I don't buy that as an excuse one bit. Now, if the coaches said, hey, look, we have coaches and rivals recruiting against us because of these things, I do believe that because that truly does go on. But in reality, how much does that hurt? Well, look at the rankings. The rankings speak for themselves, and they were atop the rankings. They're just not getting the production they want out of it right there. Before we go back to the phones, our telephone number 915-505-6009. A couple other comments to chime in. Hunter texts into the program. When you asked earlier about how they can pay the buyout, the real answer is they can't afford not to pay the buyout. How much money is being is this miserable program losing them year over year? You either pay now or pay later. This guy will never lead a team past 3 wins. It'll cost them more in the long run trying to save that. What's their attendance average this year? They could have easily added 20,000 fans a game. Conservatively, a $20 average a ticket makes up $400,000 alone. Okay, just a comment there coming in from Hunter. More comments coming in. This is Enrique Ortiz. I'm not calling in today. I always defend our team after loss after loss. This loss today somehow hurts the worst. Men's basketball is the next to get me depressed through the holidays. I'll comment again about our football team come April 2026. Minor talk, next game is the Sun Bowl game. I'm excited about the Sun Bowl, by the way, the Tony the Tiger Sun Bowl. This is coming in from Matthew Castro. You're a bleeping football team. Yes, you actually are defined by wins and losses, literally a losing team because they have more losses than wins. This is coming in from Little Badgers. Oh, okay. He's chiming in on his favorite Conference USA home game. I'll get to that in a little bit, Little Badger.
I can't wait for that.
Yeah,
by
I'm
the
excited
way.
About that segment. That's the one positivity that we'll bring on the program. This is Steve Escajeda. Who, by the way, was on fire on Twitter today. He did a great job all across social media. Shout out to our pal Steve Escajeda. New Mexico State leads UTEP 27-24 with 9 minutes to go in the fourth quarter. Since UTEP took a 21-0 lead on their first three drives, they went punt, 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 interception, punt, field goal, punt, on their last 8 drives. That's 6 out of the 8 drives pretty much to close in on the game when it really mattered, where the Miners' offense couldn't move the ball. So the narrative in this game could be, well, the defense didn't hold up at the end. Yeah, that's at the end. And yeah, the defense has zero excuses. In fact, if I was to give the defense a letter grade today, it'd be a D minus or a D plus, something like that. But at the same time, the offense didn't move the ball enough in order to win this game. So I was very disappointed at that. When I looked at it in the grand scheme of things, this is coming in from little badger. I'm now fed up. This is unacceptable. You're 21 and you end up losing. You're up 21-0 and you end up losing. Time for an overhaul of the athletic department, at least the money-making sports. Hashtag fire Scotty. Hashtag fire center. Minor in Wisconsin. UTEP needs to stop the practice of giving a coach 3 or 4 or 5 years to prove themselves. It's just throwing money away to kill off the fan base. Time to make a change. This is Little Badger. How do we go from being a top 25 team winning 8 games a year 20 years ago to this? How did the basketball program go from being a mid-major power to almost losing to a D3 school the other night? Bleeping crazy. Changes need to happen. This is coming from College Football Freak. This guy is living in delusion. It's time for Scotty to go. It won't get any better in the Mountain West. This is a losing program. This is coming in from depressed UTEP fan. You are 1,000% defined by wins and losses, Scotty Walden. This is from EP Sports Talk. What a clown. Quickly becoming the basketball football laughing stock of the country is UTEP. Adrian Michael Esparza. Isn't the whole point to win? Winning or lack of 100% defines who this team is. Blaine McDonough. That quote is enough to have a coach fired at almost every school. At UTEP, Heather Wilson and Jim Center will have the audacity to ask fans to fund their charitable causes that is athletics. I give zero to UTEP, and I proudly admit it. I'll join the bandwagon once wins matter to this athletic department. Poncho. Scotty Walden is a head coach. His job is entirely defined by wins and losses. This job is way too big for Coach Walden. Mr. Vatican at Roy Wally 1. Wins generate increased attendance and revenue. Losses don't. What a genius Walden is. He needs to pack up his stuff. Manny David, UTEP football is what it is. I'm definitely a diehard and will be there win or lose, although wins are now fewer nowadays. I'm just glad to leave Conference USA. I don't have high expectations for 2026, but definitely look forward to Mountain West football. Sal, I'll agree with that. Like, I don't know where my expectations lie. I think it's way too early. We don't even know what kind of roster it is. It's but fair. I'm excited that it's at least Mountain West football.
Yeah, I think what we can do is kind of like with we do way too early outlooks. We could do a way too early, pre-Mountain West join, type of look at it. But no, you're right. And even then, too, like, what does the new Mountain West look like in its own? Like, we also got to be real here, too. We're giving Mountain West credit, and it is a better league. Even the new Mountain West is a better league, but it's still the new Mountain West that is not, the previous Mountain West. So who knows what that league looked like. Looks like it's just really hard to tell as well, because the same way that teams want to get better, they can still get worse. There's some teams in there that they're just a couple steps ahead UTEP, but who knows if they have a bad offseason, other schools could be catching up.
Let's go back to the phones. 915-505-6009. James is next with us, then we got DeMayer, who's going to join right after. James, good evening. What's going on, man?
Hey, good show, man. You guys always do such a great job, and you're so objective and professional, and you give a great platform to everybody's concerns. My biggest concern, and my wife and I were talking about it right now, is that I disagree. I mean, to me, the biggest issue is the lack of hope. I mean, and there is no hope for next year if we remain with the same characters in the show. To me, it starts from the very top. And it's Jim Sinner and Joe Golding. Scotty, maybe another year. But after that, I mean, and people can say, well, we can't buy him out. Well, it is the responsibility of the president of UTEP to find a way to get it done. Go out there and find the money to replace and get some good quality coaches and get that fan base back in, because more and more people are going to give up not only their basketball season tickets, but then now it's going to be all of football, and it's going to be all of the donations. So she had better get out of her office, get off her desk, and start going and finding funding to revamp and reset this athletic program. It is in dire need of some major, major, major change. Thank you very much, guys. Keep up the good work. I mean, it's been tough. I mean, it's been really, really hard. But one of the hardest years that we've ever had.
I hear you, James. Yeah, and as far as just like athletic years, I'm behind you on that. I mean, it's been a tough one right here in 2025 and six, and it's just getting started, right? This is from Anthony on the app. Wasted my money to go to Springfield, Missouri last week. I'm glad they're going to the Mountain West, so I won't be tempted next year. But he's joining us from Kansas City, so good stuff there, Anthony. I appreciate your message here on the program with us. 915-505-6009, our telephone number. We got a couple calls to get to as well. 600 ESPN El Paso, Twitter next, 600ESPNElPaso.com. Michael G, a football team is not defined by wins and losses, and then puts a laughing emoji. 915 Sun City Caper, we're not defined by our wins and losses, only how bad Jim Center and Heather Wilson are at getting UTEP athletics fixed. Eliminate every coach except for volleyball. This is, we got a bunch of comments coming in still on the program. 915-505-6009. That's our telephone number. 600 ESPN El Paso, Twitter next. 600 ESPN El Paso, .com. Salt Flats Rebel. San Diego has similar issues, but that doesn't stop San Diego State from being competitive. Talking about the geopolitical standard, okay? They were a program that, aside from a few years ago in the 90s with generational players coming through in Falk, Marshall Falk was flat out terrible for decades until Hoke and Long just takes the right leadership. Okay, I got you on that. Let's keep it moving. 915-505-6009, our telephone number. After we get to this call, we're going to take a break. We'll continue to take more calls. If you want to weigh in, 915-505-6009, and then we'll do our favorite games in Conference USA as far as their home games go. So we'll talk about that here in just a bit. But before we do that, we'll go to Eddie, who's joining us. DeMayor, who's back with us on the program. DeMayor, what's going on, my man? How are you?
Oh, made it back to Las Cruces safely, enjoying the show. And I really am heartbroken for Miner fans right now. I'm being honest, Adrian, because all I hear is the sadness in their voices over at every caller, another caller. And, you know, there was one caller, and as he was talking about it, I was coming to an agreement thinking, I wonder if Heather Wilson really does care about athletics. Yeah, she shows up, but I don't see her making any kind of moves. And it makes me really curious what her thoughts are on athletics, because even all the time that she's been around, I could not remember a time she's commented very much on athletics and any kind of changes that might be coming. So really wondering about that, you know, about play calling once again. And even on the defensive side, right, there was a fourth down, and Aggies lined up to fake it, and people were calling it out. They're probably gonna fake it. Sure enough, Aggies fake it. First down, Aggies. And that's another example of the IQ. I'm wondering about the coaching staff. Got to make a positive comment about the Aggies uniforms today. Look beautiful in the sun. And really enjoyed those uniforms, especially as someone who needs to see clear numbers. Very helpful whenever they have beautiful uniforms like that. The crowd was great. The game was exactly as I was hoping for, an exciting game. And for me, Adrian, you know me, I'm walking out a happy guy, getting back to Las Cruces. And, you know, another thing, Adrian, is, you know, it was 4th and 11, right? And Miners long pass down the line, make the first down. I thought they were sealing it right there.
I thought it was like over.
A lot of other people did, you know. And then you guys had already talked a lot about it, you know, the prevent defense or lack of prevent defense, whatever you want to call it, by the Miners. You know, Adrian, I'm wondering what was going through your head. I look over to my left, 21 seconds on the clock. I have my notes right in front of me. And 21 seconds left on the clock, and you get up, and I see your facial expression, but I'm just wondering what is grinding in your mind at that time.
You know me, Eddie. I'm a level-headed person. So, like, you know, games like we bring the energy, right? Sal, Chris,
yes.
Zay, we bring the energy to this because, we want this to be a fun show. We want people to feel the ability to talk either way. If they want to spin it positively, if they want to spin it negatively, they could talk either way on this show. So we just want to be fair and hold teams or hold coaches, whatever, hold players players accountable in these situations and stuff like that. So I got up simply because I knew it was over. Like, I walked out. I knew the game was over. You boot that back to UTEP with 35 seconds, they're not scoring. Like, I was confident. Yeah. I confidently walked to my car, had zero traffic, got back to the station in ample time, got to listen to all the post-game show, listen to all the comments and everything, and I was confident. Like, I did not expect them to score on that final drive. So that was what was going through my head, is that last touchdown was the nail in the coffin. How do you allow a team to score the game-winning touchdown with less than a minute left? Like, that still is, like, blowing my mind here, Eddie.
It was mind-blowing watching it, Adrian, and again, I'm so hard. I really am. I'm being honest when I say this, because I have a lot of friends that are Miner fans and that help the Miners out. And I hear it in the voice, and I'm so sad, especially, you know, there was a caller that said there's little hope, little to no hope. And even, you know, that's, you know, goes along with what happened to the volleyball team. So heartbreaking for them, right? And, you know, all the callers, what do we do? What do we do? What direction do we go? Well, you just had a caller who, and other callers have said, that guy is the guy. And, I mean, it would be interesting to see Mr. Mario Mocha be down in El Paso and do the wild things he could do. You know what I mean? Because we know him well enough. He does stir some things up. So, I mean, good luck to him, whatever happens with him. And it's just a whole wild thing. College athletics are wild these days. Great show, Miner Talk. My favorite post-game show, as always. Love you guys. Have a great evening.
We love you too, Eddie. Appreciate you, man. Thank you for weighing in. 915-505-6009, our telephone number. Let's do this. Let's take a break. When we come back, I've got them, Sal. I got the whole list right here. It's the best home games in Conference USA history that UTEP has won over the last 20 years. So we're talking good. We're talking mostly positive for these right here. So we'll do that. We'll talk about those. If you've got a favorite that you want to throw our way, at 600 ESPN El Paso, you can give us a call, 915-505-6009. New Mexico State defeats UTEP 34-31. We are live. Inspo Lens, YouTube, Twitter, and X. Thank you for all the people who are watching us currently live right now. Shout out to Chris Collins, who's joined us this entire show as well. We'll take more calls if they come, 915-505-6009, and we'll continue to run this game down here on the program. New Mexico State wins in the Battle of I-10, the 102nd edition of this rivalry series. We'll be back right after this on 600 ESPN El Paso. Miner Talk is back. We're presented by Jack in the Box. We got a call to get to. We got a segment to get to. 915-505-6009. Talking with Chris Collins here behind the scenes from Inspo Lens. Let's be fair, Sal. After 2 years of Dana Dimmel, RIP, he was 1-11 year one, 1-11 year two. Those were not good years either. So we'll be fair. Like, it hadn't worked in back-to-back coaches in those first two seasons. Year three, 3-5, I don't even count that. It was year four where, you know, he goes to the bowl game. I'm talking about Dimmel. So just to be fair, you know, I'm just talking to, you know, all of this right here. To be fair on all sides right here, because we're talking Walden and the record and all that kind of stuff. So there you go. Battle of I-10 wrapped up. New Mexico State defeated UTEP 34-31. If you want to weigh in, 915-505-6009. George is going to weigh in right now. Then we'll get to our segment. If you've got your favorite game, Conference USA home game of all time, 20 years, here at the Sun Bowl, give it to us, 915-505-6009 or 600 ESPN El Paso, Twitter next. George, good evening, man. What's up?
What's up? I'm sorry, Adrian. My voice is gone. Thank you guys for everything you do. You guys are awesome. You know, Sal, everybody, Albert, everybody, you guys do an awesome job letting our voice be heard. You know, it's pretty demoralizing and very frustrating at the same time. To see a team that has so much potential, that can do so much, and yet let it fall away on the wayside. There's no reason why they allow this team to come back on them and score 21 unanswered points. Come back and just tear you apart. I mean, there was no defense towards the – I mean, it's hard to play with a lead. I get it. You start lagging. But at the same time, as a coach, you're the one that has to rally the troops. And you know, I see him do it, but I don't see the players relay out on the field. I mean, when that prevent defense is going on, I mean, you see the run down the middle, and nobody reacted to it. Nobody. It just, this guy had free range to run all the way, and you let these guys score in a minimal amount of time. There was no effort by New Mexico State. You know, if you're going to win any games, this is one of the games that you win, ultimately. This is like my Super Bowl right here, Minor against Aggies. I mean, you got to win against our rivals, especially if we're going to the Mountain West next year. We got to keep that platoon here in El Paso. They had to do everything they could to play balls out. And I heard them say pregame, oh, we're going to treat this as though we're 14-14. Even when they were playing 14-14, they didn't look like they were executing, like it was, they were down by so much points. They looked lagged. They looked relaxed instead of being out there. And I think MSU just wanted it more, man. Honestly.
They did.
I mean, I'm just frustrated.
Yeah, they did. And look, like, they wanted it. They rallied back from 21 down. It was the Miners who couldn't protect that lead on their side. So they wanted it more. They stole it. They snatched the win in the end with that late drive that only took 35 seconds. They were decisive. They had a backup quarterback doing it, and they get bragging rights for the foreseeable future against the Miners right here. So, yeah, George, I'm totally behind you on that. I appreciate your phone call, man. Appreciate you weighing in despite the no voice here on the program as well. So good stuff. Appreciate Zay. He was out there as well today. Do want to mention that. He was taking photos. He was on the sidelines. So be sure to check out his coverage later on. Of course, my name is Adrian. We got Sal Montes here in the building as well. Chris Cullen's here from Inspo Lens as we continue. 915-505-6009. Okay, guys. All-time Conference USA games, okay? I'm going to go back to 2005, the first year UTEP joined the conference, and that's where I find my first game. It was the 44-41 double overtime victory against Houston. This is when Jordan Palmer went up against Kevin Cobb. What a game that one was right there. I mean, that one, I can remember that one right there. I remember how exciting it was, how back and forth it was. Double overtime victory, Miners over the Cougars in 2005. Sal, I'll reel all of these off, but feel free to interject whenever you want on any of these, okay?
Okay.
So next up.
Let's see which ones we have that match. I'm excited.
Yeah, I'm
for
excited
that.
For which ones we have the same. Okay. This one is the same year, 2005. 41-38, UTEP defeats Tulsa, and it was. They were down 23-10 early. Tulsa was up big time, and the Miners rallied back. They won in the end. They were down late in this game, too, and they won in the end 41-38 that same season in 2005. So those are the two games out of 2005, okay? 2006, you know which one I accidentally put, Sal? Accidentally put their overtime loss to Texas Tech, 38-35. Graham Harrell versus Jordan Palmer.
That was a great game. One of the greatest games for sure, but oh man, I feel you
game.
Though. But it's crazy because that time there were so many good games at home for the Miners as well. Like, what a program it was back then. So I get it, I understand the confusion because you're just thinking about how exciting it was to be a Miner fan at that time.
2009, now we'll go to real ones at a Conference USA versus a ranked Houston team. They won 58-41.
Yes.
Case Keenum versus Trevor Vidito and Donald Buckram. Don't forget about Buckram in that game. Absolute baller.
Came out on there was a UTEP helmet on his quick ESPN segment, and I forgot what the name of that segment was, but who won the award there? That one, Adrian, is actually my number one all-time Conference USA game.
Wow.
The first one we have that matches.
Okay, I like it. All right, the next one that I have on the list, UTEP, get this one, 2014 defeats Old Dominion, 42-35.
Wow.
Taylor Heinicke versus
yes.
Jameel Showers.
You know what's crazy? We talked about this game We didn't
for
do minor
reasons,
talk there,
right?
But we talked about it for other reasons. I think this is one of the games that had like the most NFL players on a field for UTEP at that time against the Conference USA team. There's like three other players that I'm forgetting right now, but that's so crazy to think about, man.
Okay, that year they also went bowl. They were bowl eligible. Okay. So there you go. 2016, UTEP defeated North Texas 52-24. Aaron Jones's last game, he broke the all-time rushing record at UTEP in that matchup. Had a wonderful performance, over 400 rushing yards and four touchdowns. Like, that one was a banner type game. And then the only one that I have from this decade, Sal, UTEP 19, Louisiana Tech 3, yeah. The Gavin Hardison and Deion Hankins type of effort. That game made them bowl eligible that season. That was a really good defensive effort by the Miners that time. And yeah, those are the games right there, Sal. Which ones did you have?
So I have that one on my list as well at number three, but I'll go one through three real quick. I have eight, but I'll do five because you did five. So number one, UTEP versus Houston in 2009. I was at that game. I was able to rush the field. And my number two,
rushed the field? I think we've had this conversation.
I did, yeah. Number two, how about this one? 58-13 against UCF, the Jose Martinez game.
Oh.
Jose. I was there at that game.
The 60-yarder?
It was like a Saturday afternoon. The sun was out. It was atrocious. But that game had so much. I can't remember the name of the defensive player who got it, but they pitched it to Josh Ferguson. It was a scoop and score, and as the defender was falling down, he lateraled it to Josh Ferguson, and he ran it all the way back. So I remember that play. That was an insane game as well. Number three, UTEP La Tech. We mentioned that one. Number four, how about this one? In that same 2009 season, I think on a Wednesday, Adrian, playing on Wednesday before it was cool in the MAC and in future conference, no hyphen, USA, 28-24 over Tulsa. Donald Buckram runs it in for the game-winning touchdown, and it was a season that had promise at times, didn't go bowling that year, but a lot of close games. And my number five, Adrian, UTEP, Middle Tennessee, 24-21 in 2014 to give them seven wins on the year.
Those are good ones, yeah. Sal. And I like your number one. I think your number one's my number one, too. Yeah. I agree with you.
Do you have any honorable mentions?
No, I didn't come up with any.
I have a couple.
Tonight would be an honorable mention. Today's game is an honorable mention. What are your honorable mentions?
So honorable mention number one, this one back in 07, UTEP versus Tulsa, 48-47.
That's one I have.
Tulsa's all over my list in favorite games. Basketball as well. Another honorable mention. It was a loss, Adrian, but I discovered one of my favorite NFL players of all time in that game. UTEP versus East Carolina, 45-42. Chris Johnson, a complete beast on the field. I don't know how many touchdowns he had. I don't think he had many, if he had one at all. Got a lot of yards, though, but just to see the sheer speed on this guy was insane, and I was at that game as well. How about this one, too? Are you ready? Another one of my favorite players in the NFL, this being Matt Forte. UTEP over Tulane, 34-20, and this was, if I can find it on my list, I got it right here on the website anyway, October 14th, 2006.
Man, those are great ones, Sal. I feel like,
take me back.
Yeah, exactly. And I feel like these are extra sentimental for us because now we're talking like half of these doing them as fans, and then half of these, well, not half of these, maybe like one or two of these doing them as like Minor Talk members. So haven't done a lot of them where we've talked, banner type games after Conference USA games here in the last Minor Talk era, I should say. The 6 years that we've been doing this here on the program. 915-505-6009. We'll get back to the phones in just a second to Chris. This came from Ricky on the app. North Texas and Tulane in consideration for the college football playoff, and both were Conference USA teams. I'm embarrassed for the state of the program, but at least we're not alone, as Texas State, who's leaving the Sun Belt, is struggling too. But you know the difference with Texas State? They've had success over the last handful of years, man. I mean, at least with them, it's falling short of expectations when the expectations were, you know, win a lot of games, not just win a couple of games, win a lot of games. So I hear what you're saying, though. Good stuff. 915-505-6009. Chris is next up with us. Chris, good evening, man. What's going on?
What's up, guys? How's it going?
It's going good, Chris. What's up, man?
All right. No, just I was on hold just listening to those memories. God damn, I wish we could get those memories back here in 2025 with the UTEP minor program. I was part of some of those. I was a student there in 2004, 2005 with Mike Price. Been a season ticket holder for the last 2 years since with Scotty Walden. I know he has the top recruiting class of the last 2 years. It just hasn't shown up on the field. Like I said, I've been a season ticket holder. Just sucks. It's just, I don't know, just frustrating. UTEP. All my friends are haters of the minors. And why are you going to the game? Why are you wasting your time over there? Why are you wasting your time tailgating? It's our team. We got to support them. But actually going into the game and seeing the actual game, the coaching, just mind-boggling. I still believe in Scotty one more year, but just at the end, like, just those timeouts that he wasted. I'm sorry, I don't know if you guys talked about this. I just got home right now, just listening to you guys on the way home. Just those timeouts, like, you can't do that. Like, you got to save those timeouts, and it's just frustrating. He's a great recruiter. I still believe in him one more year, but after next year, like, he has to do something with these top recruiting classes that are coming in. Like, basketball it's always been a UTEP basketball. UTEP, you know, it's a basketball school. But with Scotty Walden, like, he got us going with football, with the atmosphere, with his enthusiasm, with getting the city behind him. But it's do or die next year. Like, this year, it's another waste. It's another waste of another season. Like, with the recruiting classes, like, I know sometimes those 5 stars, 4 stars, 3 stars, they don't pan out, but this next year, it's do or die, I think. I don't know what you guys think, but I know season tickets doesn't compare to a Notre Dame season tickets or USC or Texas. It's affordable, but still, it's coming out of our pockets. Like, and then they're asking 915 donation campaign, support our athletics. But we're doing our part, I think, as a city. Now he has to do his part of doing the X's and O's.
I hear you. I hear you, Chris. I appreciate your phone call, man. Thanks for the passion. Thanks for waiting in. Thanks for being on hold with us. And thanks for sharing some of those memories back in 04 and stuff like that, too. So I appreciate you weighing in here on the program. 915-505-6009 as we start to wind down the show here on the program. New Mexico State defeats UTEP 34-31. We're live here on Inspo Lens. We're live here on 600 ESPN. Do you want to give a shout-out to Zay Galindo? How about the University of UTEP, Sal? The thing that you coined here with us on the program. We love to clap at the guys who say University of UTEP. Zay puts University of UTEP over a prospect that received an offer from UTEP. And the tweet itself has 1.4 million views. How about that?
I love it. Not enough. Come on. Let's get those up. That's not enough. But I love it. This goes back to, man, even some of those games that we were talking about, you know, decades back when it was still Twitter and before when you would tap. I think the heart button was a star back in the day. So that kind of goes back to how far it was. But, man, University of UTEP, I love it.
University of UTEP back at it. 915-505-6009. 600 ESPN El Paso Twitter next. You know, Nick Coppola is a friend of the program. He was out there as well. He gave some final thoughts. Check him out on social media, Nick Coppola, for all that he had to bring for this one. Posted the Tony Sanchez postgame show. Also said that Scotty Walden thought it was DeJon Stanley's 57-yard rushing touchdown that was the turning point of the game, which tied the game 21-all. I don't know if that necessarily was. There was also, you know, the roughing the passer penalty, or yeah, the roughing the passer penalty against the Miners that ended up pushing back that interception that could have happened by Micah Davey. You could pin at that one. You could also talk about fourth quarter or the third quarter interception by Skylar Locklear. Like, there were a lot of different turning points in this game, but it went back and forth, and to just call one or two points is like the turning point. I mean, this is just an attitude. Winning's an attitude, yeah. Sal. And it, you just, bottom line, if you're a team out there that really wants to win, you'll do it. You'll just, you'll find what it takes to win games. UTEP's just not ready for that. The 2025 version of UTEP isn't ready to win at the football level.
No, and you've seen it pretty much up until the very last game, and that's going to be your last chance to see if it's changed or not from the previous 11. Go with the numbers. You know, believe whatever they tell you or don't believe it. However, when it comes to like pinpointing it on one thing, it's not necessarily the case, because there's a good chunk out of things that hindered UTEP that were caused by UTEP as well. The other part, the Aggies just were able to make the play there. Flip it around, though. Flip it over for the Aggies. They had a lot of self-inflicted wounds.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? The game was up in the balance. It just came down to who was going to score last, and just happened to be the Aggies the way that this one was going.
Hey, I want to give a big shout-out to all of our sponsors here on the program. Jack in the Box, thinking way outside the box and open 24-7 because cravings don't have a curfew. Boomy Dental, rooted in El Paso. Boomy Dental, inspired by you. Mention El Paso Roots when you give them a call. You can get 30% off your treatment and your cleaning, plus exam and x-rays for just $99. Check out Boomy Dental online at BUMIDental.com. Stop by at 1612 Lee Trevino or give them a call 915-591-2525 today. Also, I'm rocking the orange warm Thomas Adams apparel hat. You could stand out with custom orders. If you like this, if you got a business, if you got somebody that you want to make a hat for out there, check out thomasadamsapparel.com today to start your custom design, elevate your style. You can actually buy one of these orange warm hats on their website. Also, the Blue Blaze and We Fence hats, they're all available online at thomasadamsapparel.com. And then, in part by New Start Homes, 915 Tours in the District Pub and Kitchen West. Sal, closing thoughts tonight. Battle of I-10, the 102nd edition. Miners fall short in this game.
I think it was one quarter of really good football, something that you had hoped to see, but just couldn't get anything going the rest of the way. Defense let them down. Offense let them down. Complimentary football is what you want to see, and at least you got to experience some of it.
There you go. That's a good way of putting it. 16,677 fans in attendance today, and heartbreaking loss if you're a UTEP fan. For the Aggies, they'll go home. They'll get excited about this one. They'll go to Cruces with a big win and with bragging rights for the next couple years in the football series of this rivalry. For Sal Montes, for Chris Collins here on Inspo Lens, I'm Adrian Broaddus. We're signing off tonight. Thanks so much for listening to Miner Talk, presented by Jack in the Box here on 600 ESPN. El Paso.